You can have a seat. Well, as I said before, we're talking about how patience is better. This whole series has to do with statements that we find in wisdom literature that talks about there's good things in life and then there's better. And sometimes there's things that are going to be really hurtful and harmful to us, and then there's something that's better. And we're faced with choices in life, and we face those choices sometimes in a millisecond. Sometimes it's just, we hardly even know we're making these choices, but patience is one of them. Am I going to be patient in this situation or not is kind of the question. And life moves pretty fast, doesn't it? And we know that sometimes we've got deadlines, we're moving from one thing to another, and we go, man, I just can't afford that lineup right now. I don't know, you know you're getting pretty hung up on time and pretty in a hurry when you're starting to count items in the cart in front of you when you're in the grocery line. You ever do that and figure out, okay, now where do I go here? I know on Friday, here I am speaking about patience, I found myself getting impatient this week when I picked up my daughter. It was going to be a happy occasion when we're celebrating her. She just turned 12 yesterday, and in a school, and it was cause for breaking out and celebrating big time. So we went to Tim Hortons for an iced cappuccino. And as I pulled into the lineup without kind of paying attention, all of a sudden I go, oh man, this lineup's forever. And I'm stuck in the line already. And there's a truck behind me. And I'm going, I'm stuck in this line and it's going forever, right? And you know you can't. And then the truck also got the same idea and pulled out. And both of us are throwing it into reverse, pulling out. Then I'm pulling into the parking, or into the stall. And I go, oh, it's full in there too. So we blew down the road and down to Dairy Queen and got a Dilly Bar instead. But, you know, how often do we find ourselves in lineups and going, ah, if only, you know, and we're looking at our watch. I found some statistics about that. A survey of 1,003 adults. It's funny how who does these surveys? But while waiting in a line at an officer store, most people take an average of 17 minutes to lose their patience. 17 minutes. Well, I don't know whether that's like blowing up and going crazy or not, but on hold on the phone, most people lose their patience in 9 minutes. Ever been put on hold on the phone? Now, here's an interesting thing, kind of a gender difference. Women lost their patience after waiting in line for about 18 minutes. Men lost it after 15 minutes. Whoops, yeah. Impatience, right? And then the resulting kind of sometimes the anger that can happen, that happens with us. You know, that's kind of a natural part of who we are. It's part of kind of how we're wired. And the difficult thing is, and I know there's just these little things like waiting in line, but the sad thing is that sometimes we are most impatient with those that we love. Don't we find that? And so it's so helpful to look at this subject and go, you know what, there's a supernatural power. There is a strength that can come into our lives, and it can come through an understanding as well. It is better to be patient. It can actually transform our relationships. It can transform how we approach things, what we do. That's why it says in Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man or woman who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Can we read that together? Can we say that all together? Can we read this before, just so we don't forget this? Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. You know, we all lose our patience at time, at work, with family members. Maybe it's someone who just isn't responding the way we'd like to see them respond. Maybe it's even in something that's really well-intentioned. Maybe it's seeing them respond to God, seeing them respond to Jesus. And we see them going and making some unwise choices, and we go, oh man, that person is just, sometimes those are the things that we get impatient. But what it's saying here is, it's so much better to be patient than an angry person, than a frustrated person, than an argumentative person, than somebody, well, ultimately it's saying than a controlling kind of fighter. And sometimes in our society, it's kind of raised up and said, you know, fight for yourself and fight for these things. And certainly there are times when it takes action and we're called to do something and to step in there. But oftentimes, there's something about just our scenario, our situation, and going, you know what, God, you've got a purpose in this. And whether it's waiting in line and just saying, I'm going to relax, or whether it's just going, you know what, I'm going to wait and see God at work in this situation. I'm just going to let it go. So oftentimes we go, now why doesn't he or she apologize to me? Maybe that's when we need some patience. Why is it that that boss isn't recognizing me or promoting me? I've been working away at this forever. Why do I put up with this? And it's saying here, better be patient. Better be patient. Better a patient person than a warrior, a person who controls his temper than one who takes the city. You know, over and over again in Scripture, we see the value of it. You know, when you read the Psalms, you find the psalmist as he's writing, he's going, you know what, I'm looking and I'm seeing wicked people getting ahead. And he says, okay, I'm going to be patient. In Romans, it talks about patience and moving patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Christian love is patient, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. In 2 Corinthians, it's interesting. It has a special word like ministers are supposed to be patient. That's for some of us. Check out 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13 to 15. This is what it says. It says, and live peacefully with each other. So he's closing up the letter and he's giving them some practical advice. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Here's how to make relationships work. Here's just some solid advice. Live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. There's a key word in there, with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Saying, you know what, it's so easy to be reactionary, to step in and say, you know, I'm going to do something right now. And God says, you know what? There is a strength to being patient. You know, it's interesting how it's actually not a passive resignation. That isn't the idea behind patience when you read the Bible. It's actually a kind of an endurance, a steadfastness, a long-suffering, a forbearance that says, you know what? I'm going to do this because there could be some better results that happen out of my patience. I want to look at three things this morning. Why patience is better. Number one is a patient person can help heal a broken relationship. You know, relational pain can be one of the most intensive pains in life. To have a broken relationship with someone. And oftentimes, when we take an approach of saying, you know what, I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to be patient here. I'm going to hold back. And rather than get upset and cause the situation to escalate, I'm actually going to back away. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 18, it says, a hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. You know, you might think about that. Sometimes probably think of scenarios that we've seen or actually even been involved in ourselves when we've seen something happen and then person moves and there's this thing that just keeps going. And saying, you know what, to be patient, to take a step back, can actually help heal that relationship. To be cool-tempered. You know, if ever there was a situation where there was an incredible relational pain, it's in the story of Joseph. You find the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, and many of you are familiar with the story, but Joseph had 11 brothers, and 10 of them were incredibly jealous of him. And they actually went to the extreme end of it, where they actually sold him into slavery. You want to talk about an incredible injustice being done. But again and again, it talks about Joseph, when he gets sold into slavery, kind of reaching out to God. And it talks about Joseph talking to God. And he continued to have this relationship. He says, somehow, God's got a plan in this. And once you know it, it rises to the top ranks in this slave position, and then he gets betrayed again by an angry, jealous woman. And he gets thrown into jail. And then he's down in jail, and he ends up interpreting dreams and then asking the guy to remember him. He ends up saving this guy out of jail through one of his dreams and then gets forgotten again. And that ultimately, through patience, through him continuing saying, you know what, God, you're in control of my life. He ends up as prime minister for the whole country of Egypt. He comes face to face with his brothers many, many years later. They don't even recognize him. Joseph recognizes them. And many of you remember the story, but he went through this, it seemed like an anguish, kind of a situation of, how am I going to deal with these guys? Look at what they did to me. But eventually, through patience, he finds forgiveness. And he reaches out to these guys. And it heals a relationship. It stops the cycle. And he extends forgiveness. And his bottom line statement at the end of all this, many, many years of difficult times, he says, what you meant for evil, God used for good. Sometimes it's only through patience, through waiting it out, that we're able to see, you know what, God, you've got something good in this. It might feel like I'm here kind of struggling or suffering or being treated in this way. And yet you've got something good. It says in Proverbs 25, verse 15, it says, patience can persuade a prince. It's saying, you know what? This relationship is going to take some time. I need to give this, be patient about giving this room to heal. I need to patiently endure some difficult words or being slighted for a time, and it's like, I'm going to be cool-tempered. Forbearance. Patience can change a heart. It can heal a broken relationship. There might be something in our lives where we go, you know what, I'm going to patiently wait, see what God can do. A patient person gives God time to work. That's what the second reason why it is so good to have patience. I love what it says in Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. These words were written by David. David, before he was king, went through what must have seemed like an eternity for him, being chased by Saul, being treated unjustly. And David had opportunities to take things into his hands, but he said, no, I'm going to patiently wait for God. And it's interesting how he describes this as being brave and courageous. He's saying, you know what, sometimes when we don't take things into our hands or try to kind of manipulate or change the situation or force something to happen, we're actually being more brave and courageous when we do that. Now, David wasn't perfect in this, but I found the story of David and this foolish man named Nabal. Some of you are familiar with this story. It's kind of an obscure story in there, but there was this situation where David, he's on the run, Saul's chasing him. He's got hundreds of men that have gathered around him, strong warrior type guys. It goes through kind of the macho stuff that these guys did. These guys were strong, take control, go at it kind of guys. And he had these guys, and he asked for a favor from this man named Nabal. Nabal was a very wealthy, yet foolish, hot-tempered kind of guy. And he asked him a favor. You know, they've been acting like almost like security guards for his flocks and herds. He says they had like 3,000 sheep. And so David just asked for a very small kind of favor. And Nabal sneers. He says, why would I ever help this guy? Who is he anyhow? And David loses it. He mounts his army together. He takes 400 guys, leaves 200 guys to look after kind of the flocks and herds, and says, I'm going after this guy with 400 guys. It's a pretty big army going after Nabal. Nabal's wife Abigail hears about David coming after him. David's completely lost it. He's moving towards him. He's going to take him out. And Abigail comes with like a peace offering. She makes some food and stuff like that and gets down and loads all the stuff on some donkeys, goes and meets David and his men, bows down low before him and says, my husband, this is an interesting thing, he's a fool. She says, actually, his name Nabal actually means fool. She says, just forget it. Don't let this happen. Don't take things into your hands. Exercise patience. And David stops. He says, you're right. This is not right. And he realizes, I'm going to leave this with God. Turns out Nabal was having a party, getting drunk back at his place. He was oblivious that he almost lost his life in that moment. He finds out the next day that 400 guys were about to take him out. It says he was so panic-stricken by that, he had a stroke. Went 10 days under and then ultimately died. God sometimes takes care of things, sometimes in some very dramatic ways. I'm not suggesting that's how we take out people, but God has this way of taking things. Biblical patience is God exercise. It's a God-given restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. This is from a commentary. It says, it is not passivity. The initiative lies with God's love in meeting the wrong in this way. I guess in the Hebrew, and I'm not that familiar with Hebrew, but the word erek means long. It's like it says, it attributes to God this word long. And Trent says, he says, a long holding out of the mind before it gives room to anger. Go, I'm going to have a longer span. How often do we need that? Maybe in the small inconveniences of life that we face every day. And sometimes in the bigger deals. Sometimes in the things that really do take some time, maybe years, to happen. Jesus didn't give up on people. He had patience. Sometimes we think, oh man, I'm just going to give up on that person. You remember the woman at the well? Jesus didn't write her off. There's a time that Jesus met up with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had been a very wicked man, ripped off a lot of people. Jesus didn't hold his sins against Zacchaeus. He simply gave him forgiveness. We talked a few weeks back about Peter. Peter denying him, being a good friend, and then the kind of betrayal that happened. Jesus didn't ban him for that. He stuck by him. Jesus loved. He forgave, and he waited on God to work. And over time, God changed in all these situations. I know that you probably have some stories of waiting on things to happen, maybe praying for it for some many years, and then sometime, at some way, in God's time and in his way, he works. I think of one fellow I came across about a dozen years ago or so, and this is while we were in Calgary, and he was very intellectual. He was an engineer. He had a bunch of things against believing in God in his mind. And his wife had been a Christ follower and had prayed for him for over 20 years. Think about that, 20 years. And it just happened, and I know our paths just intersected at a time where we were both interested in doing hiking and stuff, and we were doing some hiking up in the Rockies and stuff, and we ended up chatting about this God. And then, separate from me, but he ended up just meeting God, actually, on a hiking trail one time, where God just broke through and absolutely changed his life. And now, for the last dozen years, he's been a Christ follower. It's amazing what God can do. And I know that his wife just patiently waited, didn't push, didn't wrangle, didn't twist arms, just lived it out, spoke it out, and ultimately his life was changed. You know, we live in a very immediate society. We live in a time where we go, you know what? This has got to change, and it's got to change right now. And God says, you know what? Give me time to work. I'll take care of things. I can change a heart. I think of people that have been in some very difficult situations that have felt God's call in their lives. I was reading about some of these folks from 100 years ago. And I know that patience is always a difficult thing for all humans at all times, but it seems that there was, you know, a few generations back, a kind of an expectation that sometimes things are going to be hard. And I may have to work at this for a long time, but ultimately, God will do things. There was a missionary, some of you may have heard of him, William Carey. He felt called to go to India and talk to people there about Jesus. And Jesus wasn't known in India, in some parts of India at that time, very well. And it took him 7 years before one person gave their lives to Jesus and got baptized. 7 years. Same thing for Adoniram Judson. It took him 7 years. He went to Burma. This is in the early 1800s. And I imagine people back in England, he was from England, I mean, going, what's up with that guy? Like, nothing's happening. Like, 7 years? Like, we've been, you know, helping support this guy? And this is what he writes back in a letter. He says, beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success is as certain as the promise of a faithful God that he can make it. It says in Romans 8, verse 25, it says, "But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently." What is it that you would long for God to do or that you're waiting for Him? Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a person who controls his or her temper than one who takes a city." Third reason why patience is better, and that is because God is patient with you. He's patient with me. There's a profound recognition when we go, "You know what, God? I know how much I need your patience. I'm desperately in need of that. Look at how many times I kind of wander off or forget about you or act in ways that would dishonor you." And God's not rolling his eyes or tapping his fingers or getting flustered and upset. He's just saying, "You know what? I know there are some, it's not going to help you to go down that path, but I'm patiently going to wait for you. And I'll give you grace and I will forgive." He waits for us to turn back, to repent. I've been reading recently through the book of Kings, and it's amazing when you read in the Old Testament about the Israelites and how God did dramatic things for them. He just showed up in some powerful ways, sometimes very immediate, is many ways how God worked in those days, one way or another. And yet how quickly they seem to forget. You read it and you go, "These dummies, what's up with them?" And then you look at yourself and you go, "Oh, look at how many times I go in my own direction or act differently than what God would want me to do." God says, "I wait for you." And in many ways, in this grand scheme of what God is doing, he's just kind of holding back and waiting for each person to kind of turn to him, to say, "You know what, God, here's my life." It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, "You must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." God's wanting each person to come into and understand the kind of deep love and grace and forgiveness that he has. And maybe this morning, and close up here, is an opportunity for you to, maybe it's even for the first time, to just say, "God, you know what? Here's my life. I believe you've been waiting patiently for me. I've been kind of living my life on my own, going my own direction. And you've just been patiently saying, 'You know what? I created you. I have a plan for you.'" And maybe this morning is a time to move towards God. I love what the theologian Karl Barth says. "The patience of God is a purposeful concession of space and time, an opportunity for given for us for repentance, to turn to God. It's an opportunity for us to go, 'You know what, God? Thanks for being so patient.'" Maybe that's the prayer this morning, is, "God, thanks for being patient with me. I'm just going to put myself again in that position where I need to be, and that's just humbly before you going, I need your patience." Maybe this morning you're just you're thinking about a scenario or a situation, and you just say, "God, can you give me your trust? I just want to patiently trust you again this morning. I want to wait for you to work." I want to invite you to stand, and we'll just close in prayer. And maybe as I pray, just in your own heart and mind, you just want to give that situation over to God. There's something incredibly free. It's just like in those situations where we just go, "You know what? There's nothing I can do about, you know, I'm going to leave this with God. God has everything here." And there's just sort of a release and a peace that happens when we say, "Yeah, I'm patiently going to wait for God. God has his time, his way. I'll let him do that." Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a patient God. Lord, how often we need your patience. We need you to just wait on us. Sometimes we go down our own trails and our own paths. And I thank you for patiently waiting and not giving up on us. And when we come back to you, you forgive us and you keep going with us. And Lord, I just thank you that you are holding back. You are waiting for each person to turn to you. And Lord, we just want to turn to you this morning. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's again just saying, God, I know that you're good. And Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us to follow you patiently, to love people patiently, to pray for people patiently, to wait on others patiently, like we know we need from you. And I just thank you that you're at work in our hearts and you are changing us. And we can go from here knowing that you will help us to be patient. In your name, amen. We're going to close with a song.